Welcome to Conscious Communication, the podcast that can help you improve your company's culture and better your team's communication, helping you build more significant relationships. Now here's your host, Philip Bogolub.
Welcome again to another podcast of Conscious Communication. I, of course, am Philip Bogolub, your host, which you already know from the introduction from the voiceover guy. I am talking with a gentleman named Rob Brown. He's the president, correct me if I'm wrong, of the launch of C-Suite for Christ Phoenix.
That is correct.
Yes, sir. That is correct. Yes, sir. So I want to thank you first off for taking the time to instant message me over that stuff, all of the communication stuff. I think it was LinkedIn, and taking the time just to even talk to me because we're two strangers and you're busy and you're doing your own thing. So I really appreciate you taking the time to do this. I'm just telling you right off the top.
Well, I'm happy to. I appreciate the opportunity for the interview and to discuss and just chat for a little bit. I love getting to know new people.
I like the thing. You had a little note here, the connection of faith and business, and I'm adding it in business to faith. And so I'm going to ask you, well, we were just talking a few minutes ago, you came from the hospitality business, and then, so it's perfect lead-in for this. Where did you come from? Where did this start? What is your background? You kind of gave me a little bit. Tell the audience.
So my background, I was in the Army, 89 to 93, did, you know, Desert Storm, Somalia, did all that good stuff. I thought I wanted to be a police officer. 4 years as an MP, realized I didn't want to be a police officer. Didn't know what I wanted to do, but I knew that wasn't it. I started cooking for a little bit. I found a passion, worked my way up as a chef of several different restaurants and stuff. I went from Iowa down into Georgia, over into Texas. And then while I was in Texas, I actually moved to the front of the house and went into more of the management side of things. And just, you know, really found that I was really good at making relationships. Ironically, not marriage. I'm divorced twice. But I'm really good at building business relationships and things like that. And what I found was that no matter how good your food is, people will come back there to see you once in a while at your restaurant or at your hotel or whatever it is that you're working in that industry. They'll come back and see you once in a while if your food's good, your service is good. But if you make them feel like they're part of your family, make them feel like you love them and you value them, they'll come back to see you all the time. And not only that, they'll continue to sell or to sell for you. So that was where I found the success was just, I was really good at, you know, doing that and including people and getting to know them. And I enjoyed it. I loved it.
Very interesting. Because customer service is something that has, in the digital world, has disappeared.
Absolutely.
And, you know, when you make a reservation for a restaurant or whatever you do, you're not talking to human beings anymore. And I think it's a loss for everybody. I know it's easier and we've had positive stuff that happened with electronics over the decades, but I like having that, even though we're doing this, you know, the video stuff, it's still much better live and in person because that's, human beings weren't meant to sit behind computers and phones all day long.
I agree with you. I love having somebody on the phone and, you know, when somebody calls in. But I think there's a Seinfeld episode that, you know, he made the car reservation and gets there and there's no reservation. I've had that happen twice in two different restaurants here in the Phoenix area.
What?
Man, I didn't have a reservation.
Do you know how to take the reservation, but you don't know how to keep the See, now, this is bad that we're both Seinfeld people. I own every season. So we can't go off of this whole thing with, this might come up, but that's another story. So I like the idea of mixing faith with business and business with faith. So how do you see faith to business and business to faith? What is the advantage in the corporate world and going to and from your personal life? How do you see that affecting both in a positive way as opposed to what you see without it?
Absolutely. No, I appreciate the question. During COVID, as it did for all of us, kind of forced me to kind of pivot on a lot of things that I was doing. So I was deep into prayer. I've been a Christian for about 20 years, but really on fire for about the last maybe 5-6 years. Really just found that, you know what, Jesus is a huge part of me. My religion and my faith is a huge part of me. And so started asking that. And so I started networking more with other Christian business owners and like-minded people and, you know, just and kind of building that. And I found that as we supported one another, it was just not only were our relationships stronger, but our relationships with our employees, our employees' relationships with our vendors, our customers, they were stronger. I've always been very outward and open about my faith. And that's what C-Suite for Christ is, and is where we're really trying to encourage others to be very upfront about your faith. Even though, you know, somebody may be Jewish, maybe somebody's Muslim, maybe somebody's, you know, just spiritual.
Whatever.
Not even,
right.
Yeah, whatever it is. But if they know that I'm very deep in my faith and they know that right up front, generally that creates a mutual respect right away. You know, we don't necessarily have to agree on that, but I know if that's, I can respect where you're coming from if your faith is a large part of who you are.
And I think it goes in different ways of, you know, I did some research a while ago about God, and there's like 200 or 300 different things that are people call God. Yeah. And it doesn't matter to me. It's a matter of fact of, this is who I am. This is what I believe in. And as long as you're not, you know, like putting it in somebody's face, which I don't care what it is, not faith, it could be anything. I think that it makes a difference. If you're out there to make a difference, to make a difference in the business world, which is a difficult thing. So what is your ultimate goal? What is your long-term goal? Because it's hard to, because I had another question added on to this, but I was just curious on what your ultimate goal is. What's your end game with this? I know you've got your process of procedures you're going through, but what do you want to create ultimately with your business?
For my business, for C-Suite for Christ, my goal is to have, it's a big heavenly audacious goal, as we call them, the big bags, is to have every Christian business owner across the Arizona, across the valley here, you know, being a part of our organization, to where we can network with one another and support one another. But again, be bold about our faith, be bold about letting people know in the face of cancel culture, like, this is who I am. And it's one thing for me to say, hey, Philip, you're wrong. You're a sinner. You're going to hell. This is it. But if I come at it and say, you know what, this is what my faith, this is what Jesus has done for me, or this is, man, I don't, somebody tells me this is what Muhammad has done for me, it's the same thing, but we're coming at it from a loving perspective. It's a whole different conversation than being confrontational. Again, I kind of liken it to, you know, politics. It's the conversation we used to have when we were kids. Well, this is kind of what I see, and this is kind of what I see. And, you know, and there was a mutual connection there. Now it's, no, you're just wrong.
Right. If you're one way or the other, and, you know, human beings in life goes through phases. You know, every generation always thinks this is the worst time it's ever. And then you go listen to some old TV show or old interview show from the 50s. They're talking. It might be slightly different, but it's the same stuff. And I still believe that people have more in common than they do uncommon. And I'm not just talking faith. I'm just talking in general, because in my prior life, I used to travel a lot all over the world. And anywhere I went, forget politics, forget religion. People just want to have a family, make a living, feed their family, have some love and some friends, and have a nice life. Nobody's looking to, you know, there's some people that want everything. That's fine. But I believe in general, for, you know, pulling aside faith or any of this, I think people just want to have a nice life and have a family, you know?
Absolutely. I agree with that wholeheartedly. Again, like I've mentioned, I've lived in several different countries, and that's been my experience is, well, you know, we might come at it from a little different thing, but our ultimate goal is, you know, we want to have a family, we want to have a nice career, you know, be building and working for something. We want to feel like we made a difference and made a contribution to the world that we're in. And
I agree.
Me personally, I want to know that I left the world a better place than what I found it. And, you know, I feel like, again, not to get too deep into it, but I think if people actually felt like that, we'd be a different way, whether you're a Christian or a Muslim, or it doesn't matter. If your just goal was to leave it a better place than what it was when you found it, then, you know, everything's cool. But yeah, I agree with you. We are all here for the same reason.
And I also like the idea, because I happen to see it very similarly. It's not what you leave after you're gone. It's what you're doing here now, you know, and, you know, oh, I left this, I left that. But what did you do? How did you touch people? Because a lot of things in life, you don't know how you touched people. You could have changed somebody's life with one word, one phrase, one statement, one anything, and you'll never know.
Right.
And I think that's, if you're coming from what you believe in, whatever it is, that you can have a positive impact. So one of the things I noticed also on some of the information I researched for you, or on you, you mentioned covering the world in Christ and coming from the C-suite, which is the top down. because it works like a family. It works like anything is always the top down. If the top's dysfunctional, the bottom's dysfunctional. So what are some of the daily activities that you would incorporate into routines in a business, like for meetings, conferences, customer meetings? How can you make this all encompassing, moving from the C-suite out to the world, and not to lose the momentum of that idea and that positivity? And that, how do you do that as a almost like a blanket? How do you keep that going and not lose it?
Yeah, and it's a very fair question. One of the things that we talk a lot about is, when is it okay to pray with and pray for your staff? And one of the things in Matthew, Jesus talks about, you know, being the light asked the question, I know stories in the Bible, but I'm horrible about where they were at.
Don't worry about it. You're a step ahead of me, so don't worry about it.
Yeah, so somebody on here is listening to this. I know, yeah, that's in such and such. Well, that's not me. I can tell you the story. But Jesus asked the question. He says, you know, how can a city on a hill go unnoticed? And he goes on to talk about being the light in the darkness, and it's always being that light. And that was one thing that, as I've gone through my business career, that it's not always appropriate to say, hey, I want to pray with you, because maybe that person's not a believer, or maybe, you know, it's you just don't have that relationship. But if they know when times are bad or difficulties happen, that you as a leader are coming from a place of love, then they know where they can go. And then that trickles out into how they treat their customers. That trickles out into how you treat your vendors, and goes on out. Mm-hmm. And so again, I was at Richard Branson says, you know, Virgin Airlines, he said it all the time, is there's such a thing, you know, we've grown up with the customer's always right. He said, I disagree with that. I believe the employee is always right. How you treat them reflects how they treat the customers. And it goes down from there. And, you know, and there's a lot of truth to that, even whether you come at it from a Christian perspective or just a non-believer's perspective, basic human kindness.
Well, I think that's something that, and again, I'm not against technology, but I'm against I view it as something that is not replacing human contact. We still need people to be understanding. And, you know, if you're doing something, we had a friend of ours that did some work in their house, and somebody, their leg, he broke his leg and it was delayed for several weeks. And we had a conversation. He was like, I'm really irritated, but human beings are human beings. It's not like he went and tripped and fell intentionally just to piss me off and ruin my day.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
I think it's the keeping that perspective. Because, you know, do unto others type thing, and thinking how you would react to yourself. And it's hard to do that. I've always had the idea of telling people it's harder to be a good person than it is to be a bad person. And I'm not talking evil and stuff. I'm just talking just doing stuff that's not good for the planet or for people. And it's because it's harder to not let, because the outside world is not real supportive.
Right.
It has never been supportive. And since over 2,000 years, man's inhumanity of man has never changed. But like you said earlier, if you could just do a little bit, change a little bit, what are you going to say?
Yeah, no, I was just going to say, you know, I completely spaced the thought. It's going right along the same way, though. I think I was going to tell you a story of an employee that I had, but if he actually listen to this, he'd know I was talking about him. And then
don't do that.
So I'm not going to go there. But yeah, it's the world is going, particularly here in America, we're taught that it's selfish for you to go out of your way. Going out of your way to do the right thing because it's the right thing to do, whether it's humans or whether it's just picking up a piece of trash, whether it's, I had an incident, this happened at the grocery store, this was a couple of weeks ago. Lady walked by me, and I don't know her from Adam, but I could just tell she, you know, it was a Sunday, so she had just come from church. I'm guessing she had her Sunday best on and everything. And so she had just come through, and she was just, you could just tell she was beat up, like shoulders hunched over. She was just down. But I just noticed about her. I was like, she's absolutely beautiful, you know, and she looked beautiful. So I walked by and I said, you know, hey, look, I'm sorry, I'm not trying to hit on you. I just really wanted to tell you that you look gorgeous today. I love that dress on you. You know, hope you have an awesome day. And I walked on by and I saw her about 5 minutes later on the other side of the store, and her demeanor completely changed. I mean, she was bouncing through the store now. And it was just that uplifting, that it was just a simple little thing that, you know, the world told me don't talk to her because there's a guy talking to a girl, he's got to be hitting on her. But the right thing to do was to just say, hey, you know what? You look great, or just have an awesome day, or just
right.
a smile.
Right. Well, it's very similar to, well, you did a lot of traveling also. You know, you go and buy something at the airport and somebody doesn't, it's not a smile on their face. And you just have just a joke, totally stupid joke, has nothing to do with anything. And next thing you know, most of the time, my experience, most of the time, they're smiling and they're laughing. And I'm like, and sometimes I've been thanked, go, thank you for putting a smile on my face. And then the next customer comes up and there's like, their face is down again. But it's not really, they're not upset or depressed. They're just like, they're going in automatic mode. And that's what we do normally. And I agree, because I was raised that you know, if you hold a door for somebody, doesn't matter what the age is, you know, there's little things that make a difference in people's lives, that you make somebody laugh or make somebody smile. Going to a busy restaurant and their waiter or waitress is there and you just make a joke. You know, I a friend of mine and I, he says, what does he say? I want two no meat whoppers or some stupid comment, you know, because we both have same stupid humor. And I always say, well, I'll have the pizza with the Gouda cheese. Says, we don't have, oh, never mind. And so I usually get somebody to smile. And because to me, when I'm giving, you know, somebody the energy that I have of positivity, it comes back 100-fold.
Absolutely.
You know? And, you know, you see something out there that you know that can make a difference. I believe for me, it's about making a difference. And like you said, a little bit of difference. It's just, and again, a lot of times you don't even know. You made that lady's day. You'll probably never see her again.
Yeah. And it was such a great thing. And, you know, and if you look at it from a purely selfish perspective, which we're nowadays, we're kind of want to do, but I'm like, it made me happy just to see her later, 5 minutes later, see her just bouncing around the store and see her demeanor change. And it really made me happy, made me feel good too. So it kind of lifted my day up. You know, I wanted to share that with her, see that, but then to see that reaction from her. And like you said, chances are pretty good I'll never see her again. And, you know,
doesn't
but
matter.
I hope that she went home and, or went on to church or whatever it was that she was about to do for her day. And that smile put a smile on somebody else's face. And it sounds so cheesy to say it, but that was kind of the message that Jesus carried throughout most of his ministry. Was just that. It was one of love and respect, and we just do the right thing because it's the right thing to do. And that was kind of the overall message, and kind of got lost in today's world. And so, like I said, that's what C-Suite for Christ is all about. It's kind of like you said, starts at the top and filters down.
So how are you? It's interesting because you said that, because it's so on your business plan, how many people do you have? Hundreds right now? It kind of mentioned on LinkedIn, it said, like, you know, you have international. What's kind of the bigger picture of everything that you have?
Bigger picture. So it's really interesting. C-Suite for Christ started in 2018 based in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. I came on board in June of this year, June of 2022. I've been a member since March, but I was watching online because we do in-person monthly gatherings with business professionals, Christian business professionals. We get together, we share, obviously, fellowship and networking and that kind of stuff. But we have speakers and that we simulcast and we webcast all of those events. So that's how I partake. And then Paul Neuberger, who's the founder of C-Suite for Christ, he started talking about, well, we're looking to start chapters in other cities. And so I began to pray about it. I reached out and said, hey, what about bringing one here to Phoenix? We kind of worked through the process, went through the background, and I was awarded a license for here in Phoenix area. And like I said, and that was made official in June. We just had our launch. Our first meeting was back in October, on October 5th. And then we had our second meeting yesterday in person. And then again, like I said, we also simulcast it. We broadcast it. So.
And is it growing for you the way you're seeing it?
It is. We had over 100. We had over 100 applications for membership that came in off of our first one.
You're talking about in Arizona?
Yes, sir.
Yes. Wow.
Yeah, it was incredible. The first Jesus' movement across that was, we had a whole lot of folks that were kind of in this wait and see, like, well, what are you? Let me see what it's all about.
Right,
they
came
or joined us online or joined us in person. And I haven't counted the applications that we've had come in since yesterday's meeting. I kind of took the day off yesterday and just kind of decompressed.
You're allowed.
Yeah. My whole month goes into one day.
Got it. I understand.
So
yeah.
When that's over with, I kind of decompress a little bit. So I haven't had a chance yet to go through all the applications that have happened. But I've, again, had several that have come in from yesterday's meeting, same kind of thing. So, you know, we're growing really quickly. Our total social media presence just for the Arizona chapter, we're over 5,000 people, and
wow,
that's in a month and a half.
Wow.
Between LinkedIn, Facebook, all the social
media. Yeah, all the stuff. Yeah.
Now, C-Suite for Christ International actually has almost 80,000 followers on social media, which is just amazing. And it took them 4 years to get there. And I mean, not to pat myself on the back, but it's like, you know, we'll get there a little bit quicker if we keep growing at this rate. But it's Jesus is moving. It's God moving through, because there's such a desire for this in the marketplace. People to stand up and say, you know what? I do. God's a big part of who I am as a person. And I want to make God a big part of my business.
Right.
Or even if you're not the business owner, then you can as a manager, because you might not be able to affect the culture of the business, but you can affect the culture of your team that you lead. So we basically kind of, our standard is we'll ask for a manager on up, ask for a team of, you know, five people. And, you know, I'm not going to turn somebody away and say, no, you only manage four people, so sorry, you don't fit.
Right. You have to adjust.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, there's a lot of flexibility. And we actually have a committee that reviews all of the membership applications that come in and things like that.
Well, I think there's a lot of, there's always a lot of new businesses, and a lot of them don't succeed. We know that. That's just percentage fact. But if you're in more in a positive mode and not just sit, you know, looking for that dollar sign, if you're only looking for the dollar sign, I'm not saying that doesn't work, but I need to have a purpose. I need to have some kind of faith. I'm doing something. I'm making a difference. In my old life, I was in the medical field, and it, you know, you're making a difference in the background. People don't even know who you are. So it's something that, you know, I want to be able to get up in the morning and want to go to work and go to sleep at night, knowing I made a difference, at least for myself, trying to do the best I can. And that's all you really can ask of yourself. The other question I want to ask you, what are the things that keep you up at night? What are your challenges? What are the things that you see in the business world? And I'm not talking all the big, you know, the big names, I don't care, because most businesses in the country, actually most of them percentage-wise, are women owned. And a lot of them, and it's been for years, and it's like 80% of the small businesses are the ones that are supplying jobs, not the big, big, giant corporations. So what do you see that's keeping you up at night? What are your challenges and how do you want to overcome them? You're getting a lot of applications. What are you trying to present to them to make a difference in there? Because they're going to tell you different things they're dealing with.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's now that's kind of changed. All summer, I was really struggling with, how do I get people to even show up? Like I said, my whole month goes into 3 hours, that production when we're there. So I was really struggling with, how do I get people to show up? And I really had to trust in God that, you know, he's like, I got this. Don't worry about it. And I should mention, too, we were the first licensee outside of Milwaukee. So we get to be the guinea pigs. So it's been a lot of fun, been really interesting in that regard as well. So it was just trusting God that it was there. Now my focus is starting to become, and again, I have an executive committee that I work with internally, but my struggle now is, how do I continue to get that message to people that's in content that they want? Because what we'll do is, well, our meetings are roughly 2 hours. And first hour is speakers. We have somebody share a God moment. We'll have a morning inspiration, and we'll have a keynote speaker talking about how they continue to serve God as the leader of their companies or their positions. And then we'll break down afterwards, and we'll have a small group forums, generally 6 to 8 people. We do it both in-person meetings. We'll break up throughout the venue. And then we'll actually have Zoom breakout meetings for those that are joining us online. They'll provide it with a link so they can do that. And then we'll kind of take the topic of what they're talking about, the speaker was talking about, and then how does that apply to you? What is good for you? And, you know, in some of those conversations, man, they can get really very real. And one of the things that got me last night was, as the president, I'm kind of bouncing around. I don't get involved in one because I'm kind of listening. I want to know my membership and everything.
Right.
So I'm listening to all the different groups that were around there. And I sat down in one. We had two ladies that were talking about their marriages were on the rocks, and they were going very deep on how that was affecting them and their business. Went into another group, was somebody there and said, you know, hey, my daughter's struggling with identity issues, struggling with bullies and things like that. And, you know, so again, it just got very, very real. And so last night, what kept me up was I'm not just dealing with people in a business sense, because that I know how to deal with. I'm dealing with real life. This is real life stuff. And I'm not a pastor. I'm just a man that loves Jesus and loves my faith. I'm not a pastor by any means, and I don't pretend to be. So now how do I take that, make sure that they're connected, that they're getting the support that they need? Because obviously we can deal with it on a human side, but I don't have pastoral training to be able to say, oh, this is what we need to do. But I do have resources, and that's what I've spent most of my morning today is making sure that these people are there so I can start making some connections as needed.
Now, when you're doing this, are they hiring you specifically at some point to guide them? How does that work?
No, and well, it's an interesting question, because this will be something that we will start doing. We announced it yesterday. We're teaming up with a group called Truth at Work. And they are, again, a business workplace ministry, but they actually do a little bit more coaching. They'll do monthly meetings once a month for 4 hours. And it's a group, it's a round table, 10 to 12 business owners come together, pray together as person to person, but also work on business coaching type of issues. How do we support you in marketing? Are you doing everything that you can be doing? Is your marketing true and accurate based on what you're actually delivering? One of the questions I heard about this a couple months ago, I thought it was really kind of interesting. One of the guys, owned a Chinese restaurant and had a very attractive woman that was a model that was very scantily clothed in her ads and the pictures for the Chinese restaurant. And so somebody asked him and said, you know, she's gorgeous, but what does she have to do with Chinese food?
Right.
You know, and and so it was making that, you know, looking at it from a godly perspective, it was like, well, nothing, you know, she was just there as being a model. And that's the way he was seeing it was, I just hired this model to come present. But the way she was dressed and things like that, I was like, you know, so it was just kind of keeping that check on each other. So we refer those, and I will begin leading a couple of those different groups. But no, they don't hire me personally to do that. It's just, those are kind of some of the real life conversations that we start to have.
So the revenue that you're getting, you get it through being, you know, you're the guinea pig. So you're getting that revenue from people hiring you to do.
Our revenue model is primarily based on memberships. Folks, we charge a membership fee to be a part of our groups.
Okay. Got it.
And then we have, we're starting to get more and more corporate partnerships. And this is, one of the first ones we've got in this industry, but they're a debt elimination, kind of a Dave Ramsey type of financial education. So we're creating a faith and finance ministry that'll be kind of under our umbrella that will, you know, it's there for people to help them go through. Not credit repair, not the debt consult, none of that kind of stuff, but debt elimination. How do I take your house and help you pay it off in 10 years versus 30 years? Get through those things.
People don't know how to do that.
Yeah. And it is. Dave Ramsey talks about there's several firms that do that kind of stuff. But, and so we'll have partners and, you know, they pay us or they sponsor us, I should say. I shouldn't say pay us, it's the wrong word, but they sponsor us to be able to be a member benefit for each of our members, have that opportunity to work with at a reduced rate so they can kind of go through some of that.
It's a membership. It's a membership, but it's a group thing that you can go to, that you're like-minded people that you can, people make suggestions, people can help. If you need a CEO that you don't have, you need a manager you don't have, you have the people that you know and the connections that you know that you'll be able to supply those in a lot easier, more efficient way than you'd be able to just go out there with what they in general.
Yeah, it was really kind of fun. Now, we're not a staffing agency. I don't even want to say this, but I'm just an example that just happened last week. One of our members, his son just graduated and was having challenges finding a meaningful sales and customer service job. So I reached out to our network again, said, you know, hey, there's this kid. He's an awesome kid. Here's his resume. He's looking for something on sales and customer service. Do you guys know of anything? And he had a couple of interviews within a couple of days and just got offered a job over or last Friday, I think I heard. Last Thursday, he was offered a job. Significant benefits, really great opportunity. And it was from one of our other members. So again, like I said, we're not a staffing agency, but we have that resource where we're business leaders and business professionals where we can come together and really help each other. That's kind of what, you know, what it should be all about. But again, as Christians, we're like-minded in that sense. So
right. And I think it's important to have whatever your belief is or whatever you are focusing on. I think it's almost like a more efficient way of doing it, getting like-minded people as opposed to just throwing a dart out in the dartboard and hoping that someone will stick.
Well, exactly. And that's what he said. You know, he said, hey, look, he's sending resumes out off of Indeed and, you know, LinkedIn and all the
Zero.
Other job sites. Yeah. And he says, you know, get some interviews, but nothing that really grabs me. I want to know that I'm working for, you know, a solid Christian. I want to know that I'm working for a solid company. So if they don't have a job, do they know people that do? And this is what I'm looking for. And like I said, he was able to get a position pretty quick.
Well, that's very cool. Rob, I appreciate you taking the time out of your day to talk with me about your business, and it's very different. And what I do in the show is I throw out at the end of the show an aphorism. I do an aphorism, just a fancy thing of saying, you know, something positive for the day. I do a gratitude journal in the morning. I do an aphorism in the morning. I do aphorism in the evening before I go to bed, before your soup or your mind is going to sleep. I want something positive.
Absolutely.
So today I have some of my own, and I also have some from people that are much more experienced than I. There was a gentleman named Dr. Wayne Dyer. I don't know if you're ever familiar with him. Yeah. And I think I don't know him,
but I've heard of him.
Well, no, but I think he died a few years ago, but he was it's all right. It's okay. But he had some amazing quotes. And one of them was, you're talking about jobs. There are no stressful jobs, only stressful thoughts. I thought that was very unique, and there are no stressful jobs. It's not like the job is, this young man you're talking about got the job. He's going to be stressed out. The job's not doing it. Your thoughts are doing it. So, and I also end with something. I always say, remember, it is more important to express your thinking thoughts and not the thoughts you are thinking. That is what is called conscious communication.
Thanks for listening to Conscious Communication. If you enjoyed the show, please rate and recommend on Apple Podcasts, Overcast, or wherever you get your podcast. You can also get more great information at ConsciousCommunicationPodcast.com.